Some of the worst violence is happening in the city of Jenina. More than 300 people are reported to have been killed there in recent days. Aid agencies are warning of catastrophic conditions for civilians. Meanwhile, the Sudanese army says it's pushed back in advance by the rapid support forces in Omdurman. It says equipment, including heavy arms, has been destroyed. But north of Khartoum, the rapid support forces says it has gained control of several military bases. The group has released pictures that it says shows the capture of 700 Sudanese soldiers. More than 800 people have died in the fighting, which is now in its second month. Well, let's bring in Hibba Morgan. She joins us live now from Omdurman. Hibba, both sides seem to be claiming victories in areas fairly close to each other. Who actually has the upper hand at the moment?
Well, it depends on the facilities and the areas in the capital, Khartoum, where the RSF is present and where the Sudanese army is present. Right now, the Sudanese army is still in control of the general command of the army headquarters. That's been the scene of intense fighting between the two sides at the start of this power struggle more than a month ago. The rapid support forces still control the presidential palace, which the Sudanese army doesn't look to be focusing on regaining control of right now. They've been trying to target RSF positions in the northern part of the capital, Khartoum, in the city of Bahri. Now, the army also says that the RSF tried to target the military airbase in Omdurman, in the northern part of the capital, Omdurman. That's where the fighter jets have been taking off from since the start of the conflict, targeting RSF positions. So both sides are trying to gain control over the other in the capital, Khartoum. But fighting has also been going elsewhere around the country. In West Darfur, for example, it's been continuing for 5 days. Now, these are not the RSF, but RSF-allied militias who've been targeting residents of the city. People who spoke to this morning said that they were able to hear heavy artillery, that they cannot bury their dead because of continuous fighting, and that the situation is becoming catastrophic for them, but they have no way to flee because of the ongoing artillery fire, as well as because of the insecurity. Then you have Al Ubaid in North Kordofan. People in that area also reported heavy artillery between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese army. They said the army is in control of Al Ubaid, which is the capital of North Kordofan, but that the RSF is surrounding the city from various sides, so they're worried that there will be an escalation there. Both sides, again, continuing to fight not only in the capital, Khartoum, but in other parts of the country, trying to gain the upper hand over the other.
Hibba, it's now been, what, over a month since this all kicked off, and there's clearly no end in sight from what you've just said. You're across the river there from Khartoum. How is everyone holding up?
Well, people are exhausted. It's been more than a month, and the army initially said that this would not take more than a week. Many of them had not fled, but those who are remaining behind right now are not staying because they want to, but because they have no option of leaving. They don't have relatives in outside states. They don't have the financial capabilities to be able to support themselves or to even leave the capital. Those who are trapped here say that there's a shortage of food supplies. They cannot get enough food to feed their families or enough money to buy the supplies where they are available. There's also the issue of fuel shortages as well as medical services. Hospitals say that they've been burdened because of the number of civilian injuries and casualties that have been resulting from the ongoing fighting between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese army. Now, nearly a million people have fled from Sudan overall, including from the western region of Darfur, more than 700,000 from the capital, Khartoum. But those remaining behind say that the situation is catastrophic. They're staying behind either because they don't have the means to travel due to lack of financial capability, or because they want to guard their homes from lootings and robberies, many of them risking their lives, saying that they're waiting to see how the talks, which is ongoing in Jeddah, play out. If there's a ceasefire, they'll try to either find their way out or take their belongings or stay until there's a permanent ceasefire and an end to the conflict.
Huge amount at stake for so many. Hibba Morgan there on the ground for us in Omdurman. Thank you so much, Hibba.